listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Summer is less than a month away, and while for some of us that means lazy days at the beach or hiding in some air-conditioned environment, one of the things summer means for my next guest and me is food fairs and the wide range of eating experiences that they provide. Dan Pashman, host of the Sporkful podcast, which you can hear by going to his website at sporkful.com. He visited Smorgasburg, so did I. He went to the Brooklyn waterfront food markets. We went on separate days, but now we are here together to compare notes. And Dan, it's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Leonard.
I was struck by the wide variety of food vendors at Smorgasburg, close to every cuisine imaginable and more than a few fusion items that I hadn't imagined even existed, like masala tacos and pastrami dumplings. Is that one of the things that appeals to you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a great place to go to discover new foods, new restaurants, new cuisines. Some of them, I think, as you probably learned as well, some of the more experimental options can be a little hit or miss. But that's part of the fun, is taking part in the experimentation.
And having such a wide variety of options means that sometimes you can feel a little overwhelmed when you decide what to eat. I understand that in your recent book, Eat More Better, you take lessons from Sun Tzu's The Art of War and apply them to places like Smorgasburg. What can Sun Tzu teach us about eating?
Oh, what can't he teach us, Leonard? I mean, I refer in the book to the food festival Fog of War. A food festival can be very overwhelming, it can be disorienting, and bad choices can lead to bad outcomes. And as Sun Tzu writes in The Art of War, the general who loses a battle makes but few calculations beforehand. Mm-hmm. So listeners are already on the right track by listening to us right now give some advice. It's important to know before you go, what's the lay of the land? What am I getting into? What do I want to make sure I eat?
Well, I spoke with a number of people at Smorgasburg, and let's take a listen to what they had to say about their approach to all of the various choices and the kinds of foods that they were on the lookout for.
And you came here, and then you had to decide which one of these hundreds of booths, mm-hmm. all looking fabulous, that you were going to buy something from. Mm-hmm. So what led you to buy? It looks like fries here.
Well, it's kind of a small microcosm of the problem of coming to New York, because there's so many options. It's the only frustrating thing is picking what to do best. And really, you just got to go with your gut, you know. And these fries look delicious. There was a line, so they were popular. You just got to go with it, you know.
We were running the Brooklyn Half Marathon this morning.
And you're really making up for all of that lost energy, aren't you? What are you eating there?
This is a semita sandwich.
What is a semita sandwich?
I don't really know. It's apparently a Mexican sandwich.
So you've come here with a plan.
Yes. My husband's a foodie, I would call. So he reads up on food blogs. Uh-huh. I don't know anything about it. I just come along for the ride and eat.
And what sorts of things do you think are going to attract you?
Well, I really wanted to try Cronuts, but I don't think they're here.
Cronuts are not here. How did you go about choosing what you were going to eat?
Well, we had to do the swoop and the loop first and check everything out and then make our selection.
And then we decided to share, because then you could try more things.
So that's your strategy, swoop and the loop.
And then you loop back and make your decision.
And I particularly like that idea of a swoop and loop, which was proposed by a woman who was visiting New York from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm assuming that method also goes by other names. Is that something you'd endorse, Dan?
Absolutely. I mean, I think some of the strategies at a food festival are similar to a buffet. Survey the scene before you start eating.
And then that still might require some impulse control, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Not everybody has impulse control.
No, I mean, here I am saying this. I will have to freely admit that I have not always managed to survey the entire scene before eating, but it's a good idea, at least in theory.
Well, do you find that what you're hungry for changes while you're walking around to scope out where to eat?
I do. I feel like when you first get there, I always build up a big appetite. The first thing I'm going to go for is often something sort of rich and decadent that's really going to scratch that itch. Then after a few, if I get too many salty dishes, then I'm craving something sweet. But then I may go back for another savory. I mean, do you have a similar approach?
My natural tendency is to eat things that I know and then try to do one thing that I'm curious about. But when I went to the Smorgasburg this time, I pretty much only did things that I was curious about, because do I really need to know what a pulled pork sandwich tastes like.
That's right.
I mentioned that those people from Green Bay, we were surprised by how many people from out of town. Spoke to some people from Indianapolis, from Minneapolis, from upstate New York, from Baltimore. And they all said that this was part of their New York tourism experience.
Yeah, I mean, it is certainly interesting.
I mean, Williamsburg.
Right. Who would have thought? It's certainly a sign of the times in terms of the role Brooklyn plays in New York in general. And I had the same experience. People from all over. I talked to people from London. I talked to people from Brazil.
Me too, by the way.
Great. And so to me, that's part of the fun, although I kind of feel sorry for those people, because one of the things I love most about Smorgasburg is, yes, it's overwhelming. There's 100 vendors at each location, pretty much the same at each location. But for those of us who live in the area, you have time. It's there all summer long. You can go back time and time again and try a different area at a different time. And so that's part of what I love about the experience.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you went on the Sunday afternoon to the Dumbo Smorgasburg. Let's take a listen to the strategies the people you spoke with had.
I think I always do a walk around first to see what vendors are around and what types of cuisines would match up really well. I typically don't go to places that have zero line unless they don't have any food available.
So it's like if the line is really long, that's a problem. But if there's no line, you assume maybe that means the food's not so good.
Yeah. I think I map it out as I do a typical meal. Like if you think about an appetizer, entree, maybe a side, and then some dessert and things to drink.
We did not have a strategy. I wish we would have met you before.
I'm interested, though, to see that you started with something sweet. I mean, it's not even noon yet. You went straight to dessert.
That's exactly what I asked her. I'm ready to get food. She's looking for sweets. She went straight for the sweets.
But the lady was smiling. She looked very happy.
Is that part of your thought process? I'm with you. If the person behind the counter helps to sell the food, what do you look for in that person?
A smile.
Do you guys ever split up, use the buddy system, each get something, and then meet back to be more efficient?
Oh, that's the recipe for disaster,
yeah,
because...
Why?
I'll get real mad if I don't like what he brought back.
Well, what if you decide beforehand?
Well, that's different, yeah. But I might not be found again.
It's more so I don't trust her, because we'll come back to meet up, but we'll be like, oh, here's your half of whatever, and she's like, I ate it. So, no, you got to stick together with my wife.
What was the favorite idea that came out of your conversations?
I am partial to the buddy system. I think that that's a great technique. There's a technique that a friend of mine taught me. Her name's Emily Kahn. She's a pastry chef, and so she has access to all these baking sheets. She came to Smorgasburg and brought her own baking sheet so that she could go to a few different stands, get a few different foods, and then transport them all back to a seating area where other people were waiting. And that way, because, you know, you get into that thing where you have a little bite, you go sit down, you end up feeling like you're going back and forth. You never get the satisfaction of sitting down and having a meal. So the baking sheet technique was a good one.
I was amused by the person who had started off with the sweet, because that happened with me. I had planned to start with a starter, then have a main course, and then end with a sweet. But almost immediately, a vendor who recognized me gave me a vegan donut, which turned out to be quite delicious. Does a food festival eater also have to be prepared to improvise?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think one of the people that you interviewed in your piece of sound said, trust your gut. And I think that literally and figuratively.
On the other hand, one of the women that we heard from talked about her husband being a foodie, and he was very embarrassed when she said that. But she said he did a lot of research on the various vendors before they even went to Smorgasburg. Are you the type of person who looks up all the vendors first?
Somewhat, yeah. I will look into them and check that out, yeah.
Do you ask other people what they think is good? Because that can work both ways. If you read Yelp, you're bound to find at least one person who hates whatever everybody else thinks is fabulous.
That's right. I would steer clear of Yelp, but I think, look, once you're there, make friends. You see people there who something looks good. Ask where they got it from. I had a guy who shared his Brussels sprouts with me just because and that saved me the trouble of having to go and buy a whole order myself.
I had to share the Brussels sprouts as well. The Chinese Brussels sprouts.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
They were pretty delicious.
They were nice, yeah.
In that case, a larger portion than I might have expected. A lot of the portions are kind of small, which makes them feel a little pricier than they might be otherwise.
That is true. It's not a cheap place to go if you really want to pig out. I did select a couple of dishes that I would call the best buys of Smorgasburg. One is the semitas that you featured. That's a big Mexican sandwich full of meat and cheese and vegetables. It goes for $9. Also, the fried fish plate from Hank's goes for $10 and is an ample portion.
My guest is Dan Pashman, who is the host of the Sporkful podcast and also has a blog, sporkful.com. We're talking about going to Smorgasburg in this case because that is something that has been with us for, 4 years or so?
That's about right, yeah.
And has really taken off. Partly because I guess Williamsburg has become so popular, and now they have two of them. But also, and it was used to be connected to the flea market, wasn't it?
It's still run by the same people who do Brooklyn Flea, and it's also become kind of a breeding ground for people who are looking to start their own brick and mortar operations. I actually talked to one vendor. I didn't realize. It turns out that the booth is less expensive than you would think if you don't want power. I think they said it was $250 a week. And so it's a place where, for instance, I have – we'll put it up on WNYC.org. I picked my top three savory and top three sweet dishes. And my top sweet dish was a sticky toffee trifle from Butter and Scotch, which is a forthcoming dessert and craft cocktail bar. And they started out at Smorgasburg, among other places. And so it's a great place to discover – new foods.
We have posted them on our website as well. In fact, I spoke with some of the vendors, including some who have branched out.
Is this the only thing you've bought so far?
Not at all. This is the third thing, and I'm planning on a fourth.
And what are the other things that you got?
I had masala tacos. I had a burger made out of beets, and I'm also going to enjoy some coconut water out of a fresh coconut on my way out of here.
Well, I think Smorgasburg is a special thing for people who cook and like to cook and they want to try out their new business. It's a good testing ground for a lot of people. But in general, the reflection of food nowadays is kind of the reflection, I think, of how America's going. You know, America's born on and created with people, a lot of different cultures coming together in one place. So now you see it in the food where people are combining different cultures and different tastes. And, you know, when it comes down to it, it's let the people judge what tastes good, you know?
You've been at Smorgasburg for a couple of years?
Yeah, we actually started our business here before we had a restaurant. And so this is, I believe, our fourth year.
And then the success here led you to go brick and mortar?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, is part of the problem that many Americans only know anchovies from those little things in the jar,
yes,
as opposed to fresh anchovies?
Exactly. So the fresh ones are totally different. They have a completely different flavor. They don't have that, like, metallic kind of really strong flavor that the ones in the cans do. They're actually really light, kind of like an oyster, just like flavor of the sea. And we fry them up so they're nice and crispy and delicious.
I get asked a lot, you know, what makes your donuts different about being vegan? I said, just that they're better than any other donut.
Tastes pretty good. I just took a bite.
That was that first thing that I had. We spoke to the cook at Ramen Burger, and we also spoke to the people at Mighty Quinn, both of whom have gone brick and mortar. And then Bon Jovi did the anchovies, which I didn't expect to like and loved. And they're going to be opening up a fish fry place. We invite our listeners, if you've been to Smorgasburg and you want to participate, give us a call. Our number here is 212-433-9692. Or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We both had the maple bacon sticks from Land House, which I thought were just fabulous. And you spoke with them about it. Let's take a listen to that.
We start off with bacon, whole slabs of cured and smoked bacon that we source from a few different farms, mostly around Pennsylvania area. We slowly roast it in a low oven until it's very tender. We cool it down and we slice it into thick slabs, and then we grill it on a flat top. And then it gets a drizzle of the best maple syrup you can get from Vermont, and our spice blend, which is a blend of different paprikas, fennel, which just goes great with pork, and a little bit of sea salt.
Had you ever had anything like it before?
I don't think so. I mean, that one really is, to me, that's the number one. I mean, I had it last year at Smorgasburg, but the first time that I had it, it's just... it's salty and sweet. It's meaty and fatty. It's crispy and tender. I'm like, it is my everything.
And it's like a number of the things at Smorgasburg. It's something that somebody has concocted and then has decided to try out, and a number of them have become great successes. We mentioned long lines. Now, is that a good indicator of whether a place is going to be good?
To some extent, but not entirely. I mean, first thing, I think people should remember that not all lines move at the same pace. For instance, a donut stand could have a long line that will move very quickly because the donuts are ready to go. Look, the longest lines I think you'll see at Smorgasburg are Mighty Quinn Barbecue and Buttermilk Channel Fried Chicken. Look, both of those are outstanding. But when you do the cost-benefit analysis, I mean, they also have great barbecue at Lone Star Empire, so I'm not sure you need to wait for Mighty Quinn's. And Buttermilk Channel has a restaurant that you can go to. So not knocking those spots, but I would probably spend my time elsewhere.
We have some calls. We have a call from a vendor. Jill, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay. What are you selling at Smorgasburg?
My husband and I run El Gato Nacho there for the past 2 years. And, I was just calling to kind of say a little bit about what an amazing organization Smorgasburg is and what it provides for, you know, us as vendors. And it's just a wonderful thing for our community, that we probably wouldn't get the opportunity to make our food for people because, you know, we don't have huge bank accounts, you know, and, it, you know, you can start a brick and mortar, you can expand your business. I just thought that's what I wanted to say.
Well, how did it start? What came first, an idea of a certain thing that you thought might become popular?
Well, yeah, it kind of developed as my husband started working for a restaurant called Egg in Williamsburg, and he ran their stand for a season.
Terrific.
And then
restaurant.
We just kind of thought, well, what can we do here, and what do we love? And, you know, our favorite food is nachos, and we've had a hard time, you know, kind of finding what we like the best. So we thought we would just make it ourselves, homemade, and, like, offer it to other people.
Thank you so much for calling us.
Yeah.
Are you going to open a brick and mortar?
Well, right now we're at a place called Videology on Bedford 7 days a week, which is not really our own spot, but we're working with them, which is an amazing opportunity as well. And they're doing a Jones Beach location starting this weekend, and we'll start with them out there 7 days a week.
Thank you so much for calling us. We spoke to a number of vendors who said they were doing things like that, or one was very proud of the fact that he was getting into Whole Foods and a couple of other places to sell his product. We go now to Kristen. Hi, Kristen. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Now, Kristen, you're from Staten Island, so you travel to Brooklyn to go to Smorgasburg?
Absolutely. My boyfriend and I, we live on Staten Island. We're native Staten Islanders, and we love Smorgasburg because it gives us an opportunity to taste so many different foods and brick-and-mortar restaurants that we go and visit, you know, after the fact. It's like a sampling of all of New York City in one place. And we're huge fans of the buddy system, so I'm with you on that one. We are good at sharing. We are spread out over the whole place, and we come together with all our findings, and we feast.
Well, you have to share tastes as well, food preferences. Congratulations.
We've got that down pretty packed, and whoever doesn't like what, we're always happy to eat the rest of theirs. That's fine.
Thank you for calling us. You also recommend showing up early because people do run out of product. But how do you compare something like Smorgasburg with the street fairs, where you see these people at pretty much every street fair selling fennel cakes and stuff? Is it fennel cake? Funnel cakes.
Funnel cakes, right. I wish they were fennel cakes.
Well, either one doesn't appeal to me.
I think you're right. There's a much wider variety of foods at Smorgasburg than you'll see at one of those street fairs, more interesting, creative foods. And also, as I said, again, what I love is that it's there all summer. So that sort of combats that feeling of anxiety. Stomach space is such a precious resource, right, Leonard? You only have so much in a given day. You and I were kind enough, gracious enough to provide this public service for the listeners in exchange for a modest meal allowance.
I sacrifice in that way.
Is the pledge drive over? See, this is.
Do you think the same strategies apply to the Hell's Kitchen one on 8th Avenue?
I have not been to that location, but I think these rules are pretty universal. I'm never going to you invite me to a food festival, I'm going to be there the minute the doors open, no matter where it is.
And you also suggest that you bring along things for leftovers? Because you can't ask for doggy bags at these places.
No, you can't. And leftovers, and also, I mean, if you are having lunch there, you could pack up a whole dinner and bring it home in a plastic container.
Have we missed any rules?
Bring your own water, because it's expensive, and bringing your own water in a reusable container is also, of course, more environmentally friendly.
Although I did have the maple lemonade from Vermont maple lemonade, and I thought that was just delicious.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going
to— Not cheap.
Right, but. Yeah, probably $3, I'll bet. The only other thing I would say is monitor line lengths at popular stands, and when one shortens, you want to strike decisively. Like Sun Tzu says, if your opponent is taking his ease, give him no rest.
We thank you so much for coming on our show. You told us what you ate. I had that donut. I had the maple bacon sticks. I also had the fried anchovy from Bon Jovi. And a lot of these places have clever names like Bon Jovi. The pastrami dumplings from the Brooklyn Wok Shop, which I thought were okay. I also tried out the truffle oil, or the truffle butter, I guess it was, from the Truffleists. There are people who are not really selling prepared foods, but are selling products that they hope will that you will buy and take home. I had an ice cream sandwich from the Good Batch. We had a lassi pop from Monsieur Singh Lassi, and that maple lemonade from Vermont maple lemonade.
You didn't skimp on the sweets, did you, Leonard?
Well, I didn't eat all of them. Stephen Valentino of my staff was there with me, and
way to take one for the team.
He had the lassi pop. I didn't.
Okay.
Which I'm not going to talk about what we thought about some of these things, but they were all great, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had so many good ones. I love the Chong Fung noodles at Noodle Lane, Vietnamese summer rolls at Best Summer. Also, the donuts at Dough were excellent as well.
And we have a slideshow of photos on our show page and your favorite pics as well. And we thank you so much for being on our show again.
Thanks, Leonard.
And how long does Smorgasburg go?
Well into the fall, and then it moves indoors. So you got time.
Meanwhile, we can hear your podcasts
at iTunes.
On WNYC?
Yeah, WNYC app or Sporkful.com.
Okay.